Heavenly Father, we thank you for this auspicious occasion and for your Holy Spirit being in this place. Lord, we just thank you for this Arise program that you ordained from heaven. And we pray, Lord, that you have been pleased with what has transpired here in the last 4 months. These are your children who have been commissioned here, equipped here, trained here for service for this world to build your kingdom. And so, O God, I ask in the name of Jesus that you would just endow them with a double portion of your Holy Spirit. And I pray that you would just cover them with your blood and use them, Lord, for your purpose. I pray, O Lord, that you would place a hedge of protection around them. For the enemy is not happy at this hour. He would seek to destroy their lives if he could. But in the name of Jesus, I rebuke the devil and his demons for any plan that he might be purposing right now, that it might be thwarted. You promised, O God, that when the enemy would come in like a flood, you would raise up a standard against him. So, Lord, bless them as they go their separate ways, as they go into the missionary fields, as some stay here in Michigan, as many return home, O God, I pray that they would never forget that which they have learned, and that they would put it to use, winning souls for your kingdom. And so that when you shall come again, I pray that they will be saved into your kingdom, that there will be fruit for their labor, and that you will be pleased, and that they might be able to enter into your kingdom after you have said, well done, thy good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over little. Now I will make you ruler over much. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
The Bible is the inspired word of God. It is the only book that reveals to us why today is a day of good news. Let us study the Bible, for if we do so, we shall find rest for our souls. Good evening, everyone. It's always a privilege to be in the house of the Lord, and especially on this special occasion of the graduation of our RISE students. 36 of you. In fact, the very name Arise rings a certain bell. I don't know how you came up with that wonderful name. I wish we could come up with something as catchy. Arise, a resource institute for soul winning and evangelism. I was one of your teachers. One of the first classes you had was in hermeneutics, and you even learned a new word, prolegomena. And believe me, only you know the meaning. Simply means introduction. So I'll give a few prolegomenal words before I give you a 15-minute message, African time. I think I echo the words of Pastor Ashrik when he says, our hearts swell with joy. Incidentally, that's what I'm going to talk about. Today, our hearts swell with joy because it is a day of good news. I mean, when you start seeing young people from all over the world setting aside their jobs, their education, to come and train for work, work for the master, it is indeed a day of good news. When you see 36 young men and women of different races and ethnic backgrounds with one passion in life, that is to do God's work, it is a day of good news. And as I listened to your testimonies, as we watched the baptism taking place, we indeed rejoice in our hearts. But we need to be aware that what is happening here this afternoon is happening all over the world. Because in our very age, in our very time, God is raising up an army of dedicated, converted young people who are on a mission to proclaim the three angels' message to the world. In fact, last night, Friday evening on campus, by the way, we also have a catchy name. The Public Campus Ministry Department has CAMPUS, also an acronym, Center for Adventist Ministry to Public University Students. Our mission is to evangelize and prepare secular campuses for the imminent return of Christ. So ours is a Bible-based revival movement in which every student is a missionary. Well, last night we had our praise night, and I wish we could have transported you there to listen to the testimonies of our young people, musical talents, poetry talents, as they shared some of their evangelistic activities. Something is happening amongst young people. But one of them was sharing her testimony, how she has decided to get baptized, despite opposition from family members. And she will be baptized this coming week at GYC. Something is indeed happening. When you see about 1,500 young people converge in Sacramento at General Youth Conference, which, by the way, originated from Michigan Conference Public Campus Ministry. Something is happening. And just a week today, I was in Boston. I was invited to inaugurate and consecrate the leaders of another young people's movement arising from a secular campus. They also have a catchy acronym, BLESS, Boston Lay Evangelism Students Society. These are a group of students from Harvard, MIT, Wesley College, Tufts, Boston University, all the universities in the Boston area. Suddenly the Lord has convicted them that the only way they can evangelize the bastion of intellectual activity in the United States, Boston, is through literature evangelism. And they will recognize that in 1848, it was at Dorchester, Massachusetts, near Boston, that Ellen White was given the vision to start the literature work. And so they have decided every Sunday, they are going to dedicate at least 3 hours of their time from their busy studies to go and knock on every door to spread literature. And that they are going to establish blessed chapters on various secular universities. Something is happening. I'm saying all this to say today is a day of good news. And Arise represents the finest and the best in the Seventh-day Adventist Church today, providing speedy training. Just 4 months. You've been given the best and some of the most Bible-believing teachers you can get in the Adventist Church. You are also receiving hands-on training. We even sent one of our own from campus, Latanya. She was one of our student leaders. Master's degree in social work, but deciding to get this speedy training so she can do full-time work even on her professional job. Latanya, because of you, our students are here. And at the close of my presentation, our campus ladies quartet will sing a special message, not just for you, but for all your friends here. Something is happening, and today is indeed a day of good news, and that is the message I want to leave you with. That phrase, a day of good news, actually was spoken by some lepers in the days of the prophet Elijah. You find this in 2 Kings chapter 7, from verse 7 to 9. 2 Kings chapter 7, from verse 7 to 9. The Bible reads, "Wherefore they arose," the "they" refers to the lepers, "they arose and fled in the twilight." If you have a Bible, underline the word twilight. "They arose and fled in the twilight and left their tents and their horses and their archers, even the camp as it was, and fled for their life. The they actually refers to the Syrian soldiers. Verse 8, and when these lepers came to the utmost part of the camp, they went into one tent and did eat and drink and carried thence silver and gold and raiment and went and hid it, and came again and entered into another tent and carried thence also and went and hid it. Verse 9, and they said one to another, we do not do well this day. This day is a day of good tidings. Some of your Bible versions will say, this day is a day of good news. That's where the sermon title comes from. A day of good news. This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come, that we may go and tell the king's household. To understand the background of this message, you need to know, actually you have to read from 2 Kings chapter 6. In the days of Elisha, the Bible tells us there was a severe famine. If you start reading from 2 Kings chapter 6 and from verse 24, perhaps I should read it just to your hearing. And it came to pass after this that Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, gathered all his host and went up and besieged Samaria. Besieging Samaria literally means they surrounded it so no one could get in, no one could go out. In the ancient times, you cannot claim to own any nation unless you take their capital. And these capitals were heavily fortified. And so what enemies often did is, after they conquer all your territories, then they will surround your capital city and make sure you starve to death, because no one can bring food in and you cannot go out for food. And so they will just wait out until you get so hungry, you go weak, you start dying, and then they attack. Well, this is what happened in the days of the prophet Elisha. Samaria was besieged by the Syrians under King Ben-Hadad. And the condition in the city of Samaria got worse. Verse 25 tells us, there was a great famine in Samaria, and behold, they besieged it until an ass's head, a donkey's head, was sold for 80 pieces of silver, and the fourth part of a cup of dove's dung for 5 pieces of silver. The hunger was so severe that people started eating donkeys. Remember, a donkey is an unclean animal for food. And they started eating unclean animals. See, some of you haven't lived through famine-stricken areas. But if you have, you are going to understand that this is not unusual. In the war in West African country of Liberia, famine was so severe, the people literally stripped every growing thing of its leaves and bark and roots. They ate it. They even ate wild reptiles like lizards, so that people who went to the city of Monrovia, the capital, could not find a living thing. That was similar to what happened. Israel was so desperate, they started eating unclean animals, and a donkey's head sold for 80 pieces of silver, and they were even selling the droppings of doves. Why would people eat the droppings of these birds? Well, they figured out that these birds could fly, go eat some grains. Some of these grains weren't well digested. So when they eased, their droppings contained some of these grains. And so they would go gather these droppings, cook it for food. And a cub, a little cub of these dove donkey droppings cost 5 pieces of silver. But the situation was even worse. If you keep reading, verse 26, and as the king of Israel was passing by upon the wall, there cried a woman unto him, saying, help, my lord, O king. And he, the king, said, if the Lord do not help thee, when shall I help thee? Out of the van floor or out of the winepress? Verse 28, and the king said unto her, what aileth thee? What is troubling you, woman, that you are calling me to your help? what aileth thee? And she answered, this woman said unto me, give thy son that we may eat him today, and we will eat my son tomorrow. And actually, two women were fighting. And the problem that arose was, well, I'll keep reading. One woman said to the other, hunger is so severe that I have one son. I'm willing to spare my son. We are going to kill him. And then we'll eat today. And then next week or tomorrow, you bring your son and we eat. Perhaps their son was so stubborn, or perhaps the son was sick. Whatever the reason, they decided to do so. And so verse 29 says, so we boiled my son and did eat him. And I said unto her on the next day, give thy son that we may eat him. And she hid her son. So this woman was upset. She has killed her son. And when it was sent for them to eat the other woman's son, she hid that son. And so Cain helped. This is the condition of the famine, the hunger. Well, about this time, another scene was taking place outside the gate. The Bible tells us there were some four lepers who were sitting outside the gate. Because they were lepers, they were not allowed inside. And the only way they could survive was when people came out of the gate and dropped them food. But during the time Samaria had been besieged, no one could go out. And so there was no food coming in, and they couldn't eat. And so if you fast forward and turn to chapter 7, and you start reading from verse 3, the Bible says, at this time of famine, there were four leprous men at the entering in of the gate. And they said one to another, why sit we here until we die? If we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit still here, we die also. Now therefore come, and let's fall unto the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live. If they kill us, we shall die. I mean, they did some cost analysis. After all, we are only lepers. What can we do? We'll die anyway. But we don't want to die from starvation. If we go inside the city, there's famine there. We'll die over there. But if we stay and hang out at this familiar gate, we'll die from starvation. So, let's do something. Let's go to the Syrians, the enemies who surrounded us. If we go to them, we have a 50-50 chance. Either they kill us, or we'll get some food and eat and survive. And so they decided to go. If you read verse 5, the Bible says, and they arose up in the twilight. Underline that word twilight. They arose and went up in the twilight to go unto the camp of the Syrians. And when they were come to the utmost part of the camp of Syria, behold, that means surprise, behold, there was no man there. What happened? I mean, they were so shocked. The Syrians were gone. Well, the Bible gives us the reason. Verse 6. For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, lo, the king of Israel has hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us. See, in the night, God worked a miracle. He caused them to hear these strange sounds of enemy soldiers coming. And so the Syrians, on hearing this, immediately got up and fled. What time did the Syrians flee from their camp? Notice verse 7. Wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight. The very moment that the lepers decided to arise and go was the very moment God worked a miracle in the heart of these Syrian soldiers. Notice verse 7 again. Wherefore they, the Syrian soldiers, arose and fled in the twilight and left their tents and their horses and their asses, even the camp as it was, and fled for their lives. And when these lepers came to the utmost part of the camp, they went into one tent and did eat and drink and carry then silver and gold and raiment and went and hid it and came again and entered into another tent and carried thence also and went and hid it. Can you picture what was going on? These lepers, they went to one tent. No one was around. They weren't sure whether this was a trick or not. No one was around, so they grabbed some food, some rice, whatever they could find, ate as much, then drank some juice, and then they discovered some gold, some silver, some precious ointment. Then they stuffed their pockets with it, got some extra suit and garment, whatever, and then fled as far as lepers can run, and then emptied their pockets of the gold, the jewelry, or whatever, and they said, let's go for more. And so they rushed back again and did the same thing. I mean, they did as much as, you know how they did it? They hid the gold, so that when someone arrives them later on, they know where to. I mean, anyway, that's another story. By the way, there is a sermon even here, but that is not why I'm here. So after they have done all this, conviction set in. Verse 9. Then they said one to another, we do not do well this day. No, we are not doing well. This is not right. What we are doing is not right. Why? This day is a day of good tidings. And we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief would come upon us. Now therefore, come, that we may go and tell the king's household. This day is a day of good news. And we are stuck here, stuffing our pockets and stomachs and bags with clothing and jewelry and food. If we stay here and refuse to tell the good news to those who are locked up in the city, who are dying, some misfortune would come to us. Therefore, let's arise and go and tell the king's household about this good news. By now you should know what the application is. In the context of your graduation, there is famine in the land, famine in the world, and famine in the church. It is not a famine for food and drink. America does not suffer from famine or hunger. But it is a different kind of famine, and the different kind of famine we are talking about is a famine for God's word. People are hungry. People are searching. Men and women all over the world are searching for the good news, the bread of life. There is famine in the land. And we, lepers, have discovered some food. You came from all over the world, all over this part of the country. You came to arise. You have been taught. You have been fed. You know the truth. You've acquired some skills. Today is a good news, and at a time of famine, you cannot sit still here. You've got to go out and tell the people that today is a day of good news. But what are we doing? Now, some of us get the good news, and we just stop our pockets, our brains, and our stomachs with it, and we sit on it. It is happening so often in the church. We are baptizing many people, but fewer and fewer are willing to go out and share the news. I'm speaking to all of you, not just Arise students. Since you became a Seventh-day Adventist Christian, how many people have you brought to the Lord? Have you simply stuffed your mind with information? Sabbath school, prayer meeting, listen to sermon after sermon. Who have you led to Christ? We are not doing well. And if we continue stuffing our heads and sitting on the message and not willing to share, some misfortune will come upon us. For the Bible says, if you know the truth and you refuse to warn people of the impending danger, they will die in their sin and God would also hold you accountable. Some misfortune would come upon us if we just stuff our pockets and our brains with the goodies of the Bible. we must arise and tell the king's household. Because this world belongs to the King of Kings. This is his household. We must tell his people that this day is a day of good news. There is salvation provided by the Lord Jesus Christ. We are not doing well. I know today is a day of good news. When you see 36 young people make a commitment to be trained so they can go out, it is a day of good news. Amen. And I can say the same of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. This is one of the best moments in our history. Every 2 minutes, one person around the world is baptized as a Seventh-day Adventist. Every single day, over 2,800 people are baptized as Seventh-day Adventists. Every single day, 2,800. Do you know that on the day of Pentecost, how many people were baptized in a day? 3,000. We are almost at that point. But what is 3,000 baptisms compared to 153,000 people who die every single day? Why are we content with 3,000 baptisms when 153,000 die every single day? And most of them die without a knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Even if they die knowing Jesus Christ, which is not the case, another 280,000 people are born every single day. So if you are baptizing 3,000 and 280,000 are born, how long do you plan to stay in this world? What is the message? Today is a day of good news. We are not doing well if we stay still here. When you buy a new car, when you buy a new home, you tell your friends about the good news. You take the phone, you send an internet message, you invite them to come and inspect your new toy. Since you found the Lord Jesus Christ, how many people have you brought to Christ? So we clown around, come to church, go through the motions, and people are dying inside the city. I don't want to bore you with statistics. You know how many people die of AIDS every single day? Because they don't know the truth. Do you know how many people die from diabetes and heart attacks because they don't know our health message? Do you know how many people are dying in apostasy and in deceptive doctrines and teachings because they don't know the truth? And you have the truth and you are staying still here. In the words of the lepers, we are not doing well if we continue doing nothing. And the existence of Arise and its graduates today is a reminder to us that even as they are commissioned today, you also are being recommissioned. Today is a day of good news. We must go and tell the king's household. And that is what your graduation is all about. Today, in the next few minutes, you are going to be given a charge by the Michigan Conference President. And you are going to be commissioned to go to the highways and byways and tell the people who are hungry, the land that is famished from starvation from the word, that there is good news. Heaven has provided food. I would invite our campus ladies' quartet to come up front, to come and sing a special song to our graduates. As they come forward, please just come up front right here. As they come, I want to challenge you, young men and women. The Lord has blessed you with some of the best teachers, hands-on training this church can provide. You represent the finest generation of graduates. And it is my prayer that the Lord will be with you as you go wherever the Lord will lead you. Make a difference. Whatever you can offer, whether it is through literature ministry, personal Bible studies, public evangelistic meeting, whatever means, secular campus meetings, wherever God will send you, we pray that the Lord will be with you as you go and tell the king's household that today is a day of good news.
I'd like to ask the Arise graduates if you'd stand, please. It's my responsibility to give you a charge or a challenge. When we started this school, it was for the reason that somehow we had to get the leaven working again. When Jesus sent out his disciples, I hope that you will go home after this and you will take John 10 and Luke 10 and read them carefully. When Jesus sent out his disciples the first time, he sent out 70, which is just about your half of that number today. Double you, you'd have the first group that Jesus sent. I don't have time, of course, to cover everything in chapter 10, but when you read chapter 10 of Matthew, you hear this verse kind of summing up everything. Verse 22, "And you will be hated for my name's sake." In chapter 10, Jesus lists all the troubles and the trials that they would go through. Some of you will find your way into different parts of the world. Some of you will find your way into North America and to Western Europe and Western Australia, perhaps South Africa. You'll find yourself in many kinds of different situations. Some of you may find yourself into the Adventist ministry. Many of you will be earning your own livelihood at the same time being God's missionary. I don't know how or where God will take you, but I will tell you this, that when Jesus looked at those 70 before he sent them out, he says, "Do you see those little sparrows?" He says, "Not one of them falls to the ground without my Father knowing it." And then just to make sure that they didn't misunderstand what he had to say, he said, "There's not a hair on your head that's not numbered." Think about it. Your Heavenly Father knows where you are. He knows where he's going to send you. He knows how he's going to develop you. And he knows that he has a mission for you. I do not know that, but your Heavenly Father does. You listen to Jesus and you say, "Lord Jesus, why would anyone want to go through what you described in chapter 10? And then he says, "Do not be afraid. Don't be afraid of those that can kill the body, for they cannot kill the soul. But rather fear him who is able to destroy both." There is a day of judgment coming, but God, I don't think, wants the day of judgment to come. And our business is to do everything we can during this time period of grace to win as many as we can. So, I have two things I want to challenge you to do. One is to know the Word of God. Use it well. Understand it well. Handle it well. Know the truth, as Ellen White said, as it is in Jesus. And two, theory alone is not enough. If you have only theory, you will become a Pharisee or a Sadducee. And God knows we have too many of both already. You must have the unselfish love of God. 1 Corinthians 13 must drive you. There's no other reason why I would understand why anybody would want to become a disciple of Jesus except for His love infecting and possessing their own heart and their own mind. There's no other explanation. So I want to tell you, please take the truth and take the love of Jesus everywhere. Duplicate yourself. Train others. And finally, in the words of Jesus, pick up His cross of suffering. Only then are we worthy of Him.
Father in heaven, Arise is your school, and these students are your children, your workers, your missionaries, your disciples. So, Father, as they go from here, we pray that you would prosper them. Give them wisdom above their age. Give them skill beyond their years. And, Father, may they, like the disciples of old, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Father, we look forward to that day, that great and mighty day, when the eastern sky shall tear back like a scroll. When you and your Son will return in power and great glory, and we will see then the reverberating effects of this Arise class. For soul has won soul, who has won still more and still more. And stretching onward and forward, there will not be one or two or even 10 or 1,000, but Father, a great host, numbering only you know, that will be in heaven, due in no small part to the work that Jesus Christ has done through this class. Father, today is a day of good news. We are lepers. If we stay here, we will die. If we go into the city, we will die. So surely let us go out and tell others of this good news. And if we perish, we perish. But we believe, as Joe has prayed, that you will prosper them, that you will protect them, and Father, that you will do great and mighty things which they know not. In Jesus' name, amen.
The Lord be gracious, gracious.